Good morning, Christ the King. I'd like to welcome you to worship today and especially extend a warm welcome to all the visitors who are here today. It's an amazing day to be here to worship God, especially in a nice air-conditioned building, which you really is appreciative today. But also you may have noticed that I'm Pastor Bill McKinley, first of all. I'm the pastor for Youth and Care Ministries, and usually has my name up there, but I was just checking. So Pastor Craig is away with his wife Marilyn in Slovakia on mission right now. They're training some families out there and some people out there to reach that land out there in Europe, in the middle of Europe. You also may have noticed that I have someone else up here on stage today. This is the reason why Michelle is very proud and impressed today. This is Michelle's son, Adrian, and he is going to be giving some of the message today with me about our mission trip to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So like Bill said, my name's Adrian York. I'm 16. I'm a junior at Clover High School, and you may have noticed me as one of the leaders out in the coffee bar.
His job here is to help you all stay awake for the sermons that we give that you may start dozing off on. So he does a great job about that. So today, we are continuing our series on Relentless, and it's focusing on the whole summer about that relentless pursuit that God has for us. It's based on Psalm 23. That idea that through that psalm, we see how God relentlessly pursues us, cares for us, comforts us, reclaims us to be his children. Let's take a look real quick at where we are up to now in Psalm 23. This is probably the most famous psalm we could ever think of. It starts, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." As we see in this psalm, God comes to us in many ways as this amazing shepherd. He cares for us, as we've learned over the course of this summer from many pastors and preachers up here. He helps us when we are suffering and in pain and anguish. He is there and carries us. He brings us rest and relaxation. He guides us along the right path, sometimes with that rod and that staff that kind of whops us along the side of the nose and helps us go, but also protects us from all the wolves and the coyotes that are out there, all those things that destroy us. And he's with us. He is with us. But last week, Pastor Craig talked about, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." And all the enemies we have, the world, our own self, he lays before us this table. He gives us everything we need to be able to flourish in this world. And today, we're going to continue talking about the rest of Psalm 23.
Hey, Bo, before we get started, I'm a little thirsty.
You're a little thirsty?
Yeah.
Now, you wait till now to get something to drink. But luckily, we have a pitcher of water and a cup up here, so I could get you something to drink. It's weird how these things just appear. Not like this was planned. Here, let me get you some water, Adrian.
Whoa. I don't want any. That's too much.
Adrian, it's like this big right here.
I know, but I want to do something with it.
So, wait, you want to just drink this little much? You don't want it overflowing?
Yeah, that's too much.
That's too much?
Yeah.
You could have too much water?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing how that just leads us right into our verse for the day. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." You know, what we're talking about today is two aspects, is how our cup, it's saying overflows, is that God's calling our cup to overflow with the love of Jesus, with Jesus to be throughout us so much that it overflows, and not just a little bit, but it also is going to talk about that anointing. And anointing, to set it up a little bit, is 3,000 years ago, this time of King David, they used to take an oil and like dump it on the heads of people. I wanted to bring oil and just dump it on his head, but Philip was like, "That's going to create a hazard on the stage." And dump it on his head, signifying that he's anointed. He is set apart as a king, as a co-ruler with God. And so we're going to look at how we are set apart by God and how God calls our cups to be overflowing with Him.
So we're always seeking God, but it's not... Oh, we always want God, but it's not always what we're seeking for. We really want Him there more for just when we need Him. But if we're consistently seeking God, that means we're going to overflow with His love and grace, which sounds like a great thing, right? But we're scared that if we're overflowing with His love, that we're going to have to do something with it. And we don't want to. We just want to stay right where we are, living for ourselves and living for the world. And for me, honestly, I wasn't really seeking God until the Tech Weekend last September. For those who don't know, Tech Weekend is an amazing God-filled weekend for teens to go and learn and grow in their faith. But I wanted to stay home. I wanted to go longboarding, just hang out with my friends and all that. I always wanted God there just sort of when I needed Him. And I mean, even some Sundays I didn't want to go to youth group. And I was honestly living for myself and for the world. I wasn't really doing anything super wrong, but it was all about me.
But especially at adolescence, we think of adolescence as self-indulgence, kind of living for themselves. But really, as adults, we do the same things, don't we? We don't necessarily admit it as readily. We say, okay, well, I have my job and my career. I need to focus on that. Or maybe we say I want this new house, I want this new car, and we focus on that. Because we know if Jesus is going to overflow in our lives, those issues and things are going to change. Or we oftentimes say, this is my time. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, binging on your favorite Netflix show all the time. One of the times. Not all the time. A little of the time. Little of the time. But when that becomes that lifestyle of ours, or when we start saying that money, that's mine, or that life is mine, we lose, and we're not set apart for God. Our cup isn't overflowing. And what's interesting is I've talked to so many people, and even in my own life, we oftentimes wonder what am I missing in my life? I have my car, I have a family, I have a house, things are kind of going pretty good. But why am I unsatisfied? Why am I lacking joy? What am I searching for? And oftentimes we go out and try to look for the better car, or the better house, or the better wife, or whatever it is, and that's not satisfying us either. It's because we're not realizing that God wants us anointed and set apart, that He wants to fill us up with His love and His grace and His mercy. And it's just not teens, it's also adults that we choose to live by this sometimes. We love Jesus, we'll say, oh, I love Jesus, but I just want a little of Him, because if I have too much of Him, He's going to disrupt my world. So do we really want Him? Do we really want to be set apart? And we wonder where God went in our lives sometimes when we feel unsatisfied, or we struggle, or when the world starts collapsing in on us. And it's not working out. But all we really asked for is a little Jesus.
Can you imagine going to your boss and asking for a week of vacation to go on a mission trip instead of going to like Hawaii or going to visit family? What does our lives look like to be that satisfied? That is overflowing with that joy. We say what we want is overflowing love, but do we really? God calls us to be full of His love and live a full life, to be filled with Him, but like the glass. When that happens, something will give. But Jesus promises to fill us up with overflowing water in John 4. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is too deep. Where do you get that living water?"
In this passage, the woman at the well is coming to Jesus. She doesn't know it, she's coming to Him, because all she went out for the middle of the day is to grab some water to drink, to do laundry, to bathe in. But she's come to this well, and Jesus comes to her. And she comes in the middle of the day thinking her life is just the way it's going to be. She knows she's not living a good life. She's come in the middle of the day because no one wants to be around with her. She's living with her fifth husband. You know, she's sinning. She knows this. This is my life. And I'm satisfied with it. I'm just going to go. This is how it's going to be until I die. And then she has an encounter with the living water. With the water that promises to overflow her life. And she asks, "Sir, where can I get this water?" Because don't all of us want to be filled up. We're all thirsty for something. We have to just decide what we're thirsty for. Is it our own world, or is it for God? This woman at the well, she takes this water in. She realizes that she's meeting God incarnate. That Jesus has come to her and is offering her something that the world cannot offer to set her apart. Jesus heals her, and she goes back to the village, and she preaches in the village. And because of what she preaches, people come to know who Jesus is. Today, we're set apart too as Christians. When we say yes to God's call on our lives, when we say, yes, I want to be baptized, yes, I want to know who Jesus is more, we are set apart. We see that the most in baptism today. 3,000 years ago, they poured oil on people to set them apart. But today, we baptize people in water, named the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to set them apart, saying, you have a mission, you have a call. You've been engrafted, brought into God's family. And when you're set apart like that, then it's our desire for you to be overflowing, to have that overflowing water in your life. That's what Christ's desire is for you too. And Christ is not done with us.
God called the woman out of the well, out of her ordinary life, and he's calling us to do the same in the psalm. Last week, Pastor Craig talked about how God sets the table before us, the table that gives us all we need to live our life. But to do that, we have to be centered on him. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 has the flow of our new life with Christ, of how we move from empty to overflowing, to how we become set apart to have this full life that God promised us in us, Psalm 23. That relentlessness of God chasing after us and wanting to rest in him. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is known at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up in the coming ages with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of grace expressed with his kindness to in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do.
There's a lot in those 10 verses, and there's so much we're not going to be able to cover at all. But there's a point where we see in these verses, and we're going to talk about, we move from recognizing that we're sinful people to God's grace saving us, being called, sent out in the world. Just like the woman at the well, who recognized her own sinfulness, and God's love for her sends her out into the world. We see this movement. For our life to be overflowing, these couple verses share, we can't do it on our own. In verses 1 through 3, it says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's huge. When you hear that, you may say, okay, you know, like Adrian was talking about in the beginning, you know, I'm not that big of a sinner. But Paul is saying in here is that all our transgressions, all our sins, we are dead. You don't need to be a bank robber to be able to realize that there's corruption in ourselves. Verse 2, it goes, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Wow, you hear that and you just feel like, oh my gosh, this huge weight. But before we can be anointed and set apart, we have to realize we can't do it in ourselves. This is a heavy passage. It's saying that we choose to follow the world. We choose to follow our own ways, that seek our own desires. And because of that, we deserve to die. Because it becomes all about us. We seek after our own path, our own lust, our own desires. But we can't do it on our own. We can't go, okay, God, here I am, you know, I want this. We have to be able to realize, first of all, that we are these sinners in everything we do. We can't feel that longing in our lives saying, okay, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to put this on and try this. Because it's just going to create more emptiness. The harder we work to satisfy those holes in our lives, the less empty it's going to be. And we may even say, I want a little Jesus to fill me up, but just sort of enough. Because if we have too much of him, we're afraid of what he's going to do. We have this longing. And we realize through this passage that we're dead in our sin and in our lives, and that we're not living. We discard his call on our lives, so we're not set apart. We're not filled up. We chase after that new cell phone or that new computer. We chase after that guy or that girl. We look for the pursuit of wealth or the pursuit of our own happiness, and we wonder, where is God in all of this? And passage 1 through 3 helps us see that we can't do it on ourselves, that we are constantly seeking after our own goodness and our own self.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ Jesus and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Paul says we're messed up, and we continue to live for ourselves and not seek him. But that word signifies a shift. Even though this, we have this. In spite of our chosen will to live in sin, not to live full lives, he came for us even when we were dead. From a human perspective, this is weird. We view love as transactions way too often. You do this for me, and I'll love you and respect you. And teenagers, we feel this a lot. Say we get like good grades, we get this job, we just whatever. We just feel like, oh, I get good grades, my parents will love me, and stuff like that. But God does not abide by human actions. He takes us when we are dead, and he makes us alive. And that's the key. He makes us alive. He gives us everything we need. And we don't deserve it, but he sent his son Jesus here to make us alive through this death and resurrection. On Wednesday night of the mission trip, we were all given the opportunity to give down our sins and transgressions to the cross. We were all given the chance. We were all pushed and pulled by the Holy Spirit, but not all of us were ready. There was 10 adults giving up their family and pay to be alive for these 31 youth. These youth giving up and pouring out their hearts to help these organizations, World Vision and Tree of Life Church. Not working directly with people was a little bit of a disappointment, but they still had the realization that they were serving them. And we saw story after story of youth wanting to be baptized and be set apart because of what God did by reaching down. God's grace, his unmeasured love, the love of the Father who is willing to sacrifice it all to meet you, to meet us where we are. He loves us so much that he's willing for us to stay there in our sins. Youth and adults are being changed in this ministry and congregation by the power of God's love reaching down, working through imperfect adults and other youth. I've seen freedom, and I see it coming, because lives are being filled up with the joy in life. Healing is taking place. In the last part of the verse, he raised us up to sit at his side. In other words, he's calling us out of our lives. He knows us in spite of ourselves. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He rescues us in spite of ourselves. He sets us apart by anointing us, and he calls for us.
It's just not when we're on this mission trip in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, going and serving those. That calling on our lives is today, is here in this room. In Ephesians 7 through 10, it says this, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so know that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. For God prepared in advance for us to do. We see that we follow this path in Ephesians, that he's called us out of our sin. He's saved us. He's rescued us by his grace and mercy and love for us, even though we are in rebellion. And it's done because not of anything we do, but because of what he does in us. He loves us so much. He sets us apart and he claims us. Adrian and all these other youth who've gone and these adults have been set apart and they've been claimed. And now it's their desire to be filled up. Is it our desire to be set apart and filled up? Is it your desire to be set apart and filled up? Because it says we're saved by grace. And when it talks about saved by grace in here, it means continuously. The words are saying it's continuously going. If I stood here and poured this whole pitcher of water into here and it's overflowing, at some point this water is just going to end. But these verses say that this grace is poured out forever. There is no ending to what Christ has done for us and the sacrifice he's done for us. When we call on him, when we say, yes, Lord, I want this, I desire this, I hear you knocking on my heart, his grace comes to us forever and it is repeated. We find joy in this. We start finding that our lives are feeling satisfied. We don't always need that new whatever, that shiny thing, because our lives are being satisfied and filled up. We start to live out our calling that God has called into us when we're baptized and called. He prepares us. He knows us in spite of ourselves. In spite of ourselves, he still loves us because he's created us. He loves us in spite of ourselves because this is his calling on our lives. He reaches down to us. He rescues us in spite of ourselves. In spite of our sin and our junk and our shame, he sent his son to us to die for us so that he can rescue us and so that we can be reconciled and be made whole and set apart. He set us apart by anointing us through our baptism. We are called children of God. He has a calling for us. Our calling is all the same, to go and spread that good news of Jesus Christ. But how we do that is going to be different in each individual way. Whether you're a musician, whether you're a preacher, whether you're working at the coffee bar, whether you're working at Harris Teeter. Our calling may be different, but the mission is going to be the same. He keeps filling us up so we never run dry. When we call on him day and day, Martin Luther, every morning when he'd get up in the morning, wash his face with water, it would remind him of his baptism. It's not a one-time calling on our lives. Every single morning, we say, yes, God. And he sends us out. He sends us out into the world to answer his call in our lives. He is the one who fills us up, who has set us apart so we have joy, so we can go out in the world, whether it's mission trips out into Pittsburgh or whether it's the mission of our jobs and our schools. We move from emptiness to an abundant life.
He wants this for all of us. Not a half or partial life like the glass. Not even just a little bit of Jesus. But how do we get there? First, we have to recognize we don't have all we need. We are sinners and we are selfish, just like it says in Ephesians. Second, we have to recognize God's calling in Christ in your life because of his love for us. Again, in Ephesians at the end, it says that he calls us and he has a specific calling for us because we are his handiwork. Third, we have to accept God's anointing in your life because we are a child of God. And God calls us and fills us up. He brings us into his family. Fourth, we have to be in relationships. And this is hard to do. As a teenager, we have trust issues, so it's always hard to be in relationships because we're just like, oh, well, they hurt me a little bit, so I can't trust them ever again. But for me, I am in relationship with Bill and my parents. They're the ones that keep me up in my faith. They're the ones that keep me going. Fifth, we have to live a full life seeking God's kingdom. And then we have to repeat. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God's desire is for you to flourish. Psalm 23 is all about our flourishing because of God's relentless pursuit. He prepares our table before us, sets it up, and calls us to come. He gives us all we need to flourish in this world. He calls us. What's that tug on your heart? When we have the anointing of God's abundant love in our lives, our cup overflows, and it fills up with the water that never ends.
Imagine what your life would look like when you're set apart and you've called on Christ and he's filling your life up and he's refreshing you with that water that'll never end. For those around you, what would your life be like? For your schools, what would that be like? For your job, what would that be like? How would you live differently? How would the people around you see you differently if they could see that water, just like that woman at the well saw that water in Jesus' life? Yes, God's offer is there for you. That offer of salvation, that offer of grace. We say we want more of Jesus in our lives, then we need to start acting like it. We need to call on his name. One of my favorite verses is John 3:30. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Our lives won't be filled up like it says in Psalm 23. That are overflowing unless we realize my desires and my fears and my hopes or whatever it is has to decrease and he has to increase in my life. You anoint my head. That's his call on your life. That is his standing apart saying, you are a forgiven child of God. I love you in spite of yourself. I love you no matter what you've done or what you haven't done. I love you no matter if someone's done stuff to you or you're doing something to someone else. I love you, and I'm going to change you. I'm going to fill you up. In Ephesians, we heard, you can't do this on yourself. It's that Christ has to come to us, and we have to say, yes, Lord, I want this in my life. And all that guilt and shame is going to disappear. The youth and adults on our trip emptied themselves of their desires. They give their money, pay, summer vacation, time with families. But that's what we're called to do every single day of our life. Sometimes it's to go to Pittsburgh. Sometimes it is to help that person across the street shovel mud and dirt out of their driveway. Sometimes, I almost said snow, but I forgot where I lived. That was when I was in Illinois. Shovel that mud and dirt after that nice flood that comes through, the rain comes through, that red clay. Or maybe it's to help that senior, or maybe it's to help that youth, or whatever. That's calling on our lives to be sent out when we're filled up. The call is for you right now, though, too. The call is on your life right now. It's not a one-time call. It's not like, okay, I accept Jesus in my life and then move on. Like I said, Martin Luther every day talked about that. That desire had to be renewed every single day when he washed his face, he remembered when he was baptized. But maybe there's a tug on your heart right now, like Adrian was talking about. Say, Lord, I've been living over here and I want to live here. I want my life to be filled up and overflowing. Maybe that's your choice and that's your decision and your time today. Because that's what it means to be called and anointed. Maybe you've never made sort of that decision for Christ. Maybe you've not heard God tugging on your life until this very moment. And it's not a one-time thing. Knowing who God is means being in relationship like Adrian talked about and growing every single day. And if you're new to knowing who Jesus is, we have the first step out there, class, for you to be able to know. We have some books and some materials if you want to know more about who Jesus is. And if you want to decide today is the day, then we'll be here afterwards to be able to pray for you. But why wait on our lives anymore? Is God tugging at your heart? Is he there? Is there a call to return to the Lord? Maybe you're deciding, I want to be baptized. I want to rededicate my life in this formal way. And on September 9th, we're going to have this amazing opportunity for people to be baptized here and rededicate their lives here up on stage, but also in the evening that the youth will be leading. But it's right now is that time to take that first step. Every journey begins with that first step. Saying, yes, Lord. yes, Lord, I want more of you and I want less of myself. Adrian stepped out of his comfort zone today. Adrian's favorite thing is not to stand up here and preach. But he said yes to God. And he says yes to God every single day. And that's what we want for you, is when your life becomes overflowing, you may end up on stage preaching. Some of you are going, no. But you never know where God is going to call you. So we're going to pray for you for a moment. But again, if today's the day you're going to renew that call in your life, if you're going to accept who Christ is in your life, I'm going to be here after the service. I want to pray with you. I want to anoint your head with some oil. And we're going to just set you apart and say, yes, Lord, to your life. But let's take a moment and just center ourselves on him right now. Father God, we just let all the sin in our life go. We just sit here with our hands open to you, Lord. Some of us are so tired. Some of us are in pain because of ourselves or what others have done. Help us to take that deep breath and let that go in our lives right now. Yes, Lord, we want more of you. We're anointed children of God. We're set apart. Help us so our cups will overflow. And Lord, I thank you for all those knocks on our heart today, Lord, for those people out there who are making those decisions of answering that call from what God has said to them. Let this be just that first step so that we know that there's a journey that we're in, Lord. Keep moving us along from that journey, Lord. And Lord, for those who are making that very first step today, Lord, we just lift you up right now. We praise you, and we know that heaven is applauding those decisions and those choices and what God's doing in your life, Lord, and that tug on your heart. And Lord, we just ask that prayer and the blessing over you. And as we go out from here, Lord, help us to be able to carry that overflowing water out into the world so that the whole world is flooded with your grace and your love, that all people come to know who you are. We ask these things in your son's most holy name, and God's children said, amen.